ministry of the word. While Eli was a high priest officiating at the tent of meeting, which was in Shiloh, and we learn in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 12, we're told that Eli's sons were wicked men, and they had no regard for the Lord. So here they were in the business of priesthood, but they were in the business of priesthood for their own selves. I do believe that Eli himself was a godly man, but when it came to his children, he was lax. He failed to discipline them. And it is true that he rebuked them. He spoke to them in 1 Samuel 2 and 24. He said, "No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" That's a good question, isn't it? If a man sin against the Lord, who will intercede? Well, we know the answer, don't we? Jesus Christ will intercede if we repent and we plead the mercies of God. But anyway, he says, his sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. And so this morning I want to talk about killing your child. Eli talked to his sons. He rebuked and he warned his sons. And I'm sure he loved his sons. In fact, they didn't get that way overnight, did they? Long before Eli was in the business of raising and training his boys for the priesthood, Eli never really disciplined his sons. And that is seen in the fact that he should have removed his boys from the priesthood for their wickedness. And they were unfit and their folly. But he only talked to them. He did not send them away. He did what he had done so often before. There was all talk and no punishment. You see, we all think that we love our children. And we do. But there is a love that is cruel. And there is a love that will twist your children in the way that you do not want them to go. Maybe I could put it this way. It is more a self-love or Keter's love. A love that often hopes or always hopes, but seldom acts. You notice the quote in the bulletin today. And I put this in before this particular sermon, which has me somewhat fearful. But J.C. Ryle, the Anglican bishop, said something that might be helpful to explain the meaning of my sermon. He writes, and you can read it there, "There is nothing we naturally dislike so much as trouble about our religion." He says, "Anything that requires exertion and labor is entirely against the grain of our hearts." But then he adds, "The soul can have no gains without pains." He must have got that from the gym. I think the same sentiment can be expressed when it comes to parenting. There is nothing we naturally dislike so much as trouble when it comes to parenting. And anything that requires exertion and labor is entirely against the grain of many Christian parents. Like Eli, we want the gain without producing pain for ourselves and for our children. A couple of weeks ago, we dedicated in the front of this church Philippe and Natalie Jaboyne to the task of raising their little Anthony, that darling boy, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I gave them the following verse from Proverbs, which may have seemed to them and to others rather an unusual verse for the occasion, but I'm going to give it to you again, and it was also in the bulletin, you will notice, Proverbs 19 and 18. Discipline your son or your daughter, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his or her death. Wow. That's strange for Solomon to say something like that. Maybe he ought to have practiced what he preached as well. Now, what parent does not love their son or daughter? Generally speaking, I know they're cruel parents, but generally speaking, what parent would be willing, a willing party, into his or her death? You might say, well, only the most vile and depraved parent would be a willing party to the death of their child. In fact, if I know you properly, many of you would say, I would lay down my life for my child. I'd put it on the altar of death that my child might live. But you know, God says not only the most vile, but you and I are a willing party to your child's death if you withhold biblical discipline from your son or your daughter. Every so often in this Toronto of ours, we hear about teenagers being shot, stabbed, killed, murdered, or overdosing. The whole community gets upset. Moms, and if they're dads, weep at the casket. And they say, we have to do something. And for a while, it's all on the talk shows. We have to do something. Society, whoever society is, has to do something. Of course, if everybody has to do something, nobody does anything. We need more counselors. We need someone to blame for this. We need more money. In our society today, because we're so materialistic and unspiritual, we think money will fix everything. It won't, and it doesn't. The almighty dollar takes the place of the almighty himself. But you see, the parents, generally speaking, of the deceased are not cruel, unkind, not hurting, not brokenhearted, but they're never blamed. Be cruel for a preacher to do that, wouldn't it? Yet how many of those deaths, not all, but how many of those deaths, the vast majority is due to the fact that the parents so loved their child, they thought the child could gain without pain. That's what the wise men said. The failure to discipline your child in a godly fashion, when he or she is young, you become a willing party to their early demise. Whether it's jail, juvenile court, or a bullet in the heart. Whether it's drugs, venereal disease. You become a willing party. And the Bible says there is hope if you discipline. Now you say, how is this possible? Oh, it's very easily done. It's very easily done. Be a friend to your child and not a parent. Talk, but never enforce. The only discipline the child ever hears is the raise of the decibel level. If he or she gets in trouble, blame the teacher. Blame the pastor. Blame any authority figure other than yourselves. That absolves you of your failure to act. If he or she hits you at 5, well, just wait until he or she is 16 and see how hard he or she hits then. Let him stay up late. Let him watch anything he wants to watch. Let him play video games all day long until he's brain dead. Oh, just love them to death. Never give any responsibility. Never make sure they clean up after themselves. Never follow through with your threats. Never see the job is done and it's done well. But let the child talk back. Free expression. Sass you whenever he or she pleases. Oh yes, be sure to tell the precious little soul, no one, and you mean no one, can tell him what to do or tell him to obey. Only Mummy Dearest. And she never does anything but say, poor dear. So I'm in the store the other day. There's Mummy. There's the kid. And he's got a Coke bottle. She knows it. I say to the child, I said, I don't think you should do that. Could explode. She turned on me. You don't talk to my child. No one speaks to my child. I said, listen, I wouldn't have to talk to your child if you talked to your child. Mummy Dearest. Nobody, your child is doing wrong. Someone's correcting the wrong. Act. At 16 or 17, after he's sired a child or two, you stand by an open casket and you say, society should do something about this. As Margaret Thatcher put it, there's no such thing as a society, only people. There's no such thing as a society, only parents. Oh, yes. If you really want to see him die early, make sure that he never sees a Bible, that he takes the Gideon Bibles and throws them into the street. Make sure that he never goes to Sunday school. Great harm can be done there. Laugh when he curses, swears. The home has alcohol and drugs. And then you stand at the casket and say, society should do something. And our politicians are so spineless that they don't say it the way it really is. One of the police chiefs in Toronto years ago said the best thing for young people is Sunday school. They wouldn't say that today, would they? You see, we have a problem here at Faith. At a board meeting this week, one of the board members asked if we could put locks on a certain room because it is constantly trashed. Are we not offended? No locks should be necessary. But discipline is required. When the children are sometimes spoken to, and it's not only in this church, they're so brazen, they say, "You can't boss me around. I'd like to ask parents, are you not offended? Do you tell them to say that? Do you dare to teach them that?" When I was a boy, if anybody spoke to you over 15, you hopped right to it. If they said, "Move it along," you moved. If they said, "Stop," you stopped. And it didn't have to be your parents. Hey, we can trash the place, but we don't have to pick up after ourselves. "Oh, Johnny, over here, you made a mess." No. Just keep on going. Well, if as a sinner, and I am a sinner, if I'm offended, do you think God is not offended? God was offended with Eli. He was offended by Eli's children. Do you think God Almighty is not offended? Or as we read in Scripture, God intended to put Eli's sons to death because Eli loved them too much. He loved them too much to do the hard thing, to save their souls by a little pain, to trouble himself. He raised the decibel level, but he never acted. Because we like our parenting like we like our religion, without cost. Without cost. Without pain. Without trouble. We sit behind the newspaper. We know what's going on. And after a while, we just throw up our hands. Listen to the word of God. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Notice that when Paul says this is right, this is natural. This is how do you put it? This is the way it ought to be. There's something offensive when children sass elders. It's not right. Honor your father and mother. Why? It's the first commandment that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Generally speaking. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. How do you exasperate your children? When you only talk and you never act. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord, or the fear and the admonition of God. The fear of God. Listen, parents, you are to be putting the fear of God in these children's lives. But I can tell you, in this generation, they don't fear anybody. They don't fear any authority beyond their little godlike existence. Their attitude is, "You can't do anything to me. And Mom and Dad, if you put your hand on me, I'll phone the police." I'd say, "Phone them. I'll stay in jail. You want to stay in a foster home? You want to think about it. If you're loving your child, they'll shape up." If they don't fear parents, or the teacher, or the police, or any authority figure, how in the world are they going to fear God and tremble before Him? Ask yourself the question. Are you expecting God to do the fear thing so that you won't have any pain? You got to think again. As I said, when I grew up, you were expected to be polite, obedient to adults and the elderly. You were not to talk back. And if they said move along, you moved along. And if they said pick it up, you picked it up. And if you got the blessed strap, and it was blessed, believe me, in this day and age it could be used again, at school, you dared not tell mom and dad when you got home, and you feared that the teacher might phone because you'd get a second strap that night. And you don't need two straps in one day. Listen, parents, it is your job to put the fear of God in your child. To teach them to respect and obey authority, which is the essence of the fear of God. And the first place where they learn respect and authority is in the home from mom and dad. God does not just say to the child, here's the fear. And the fear is the awe and respect and obedience that mom and dad deserve and are to work diligently for. You want to be a party in your child's death. Here's how to do it. No consequences ever for bad behavior. Here's an incident that happened in our kids' club, which is far too common. And not only in our church, in other churches. One of the children was bad all night long. And finally, those who sacrifice their time, their love for Christ, and for children's souls, said enough. And when at the end they said to mom, this child is not going to be allowed to come to our next meeting because of the behavior, the mom said, fine, I agree with you. But not so fine. Not so fine. The child will not be allowed back unless they apologize for their bad behavior and they say they're sorry to the leaders and to the class for causing the leaders grief and wasting everybody's time. And that goes on in schools all the time. In grade 9, I was talking in class. I was reprimanded by the teacher. And that night, of course, there had to be a parent-teacher meeting. And the teacher, of course, mentioned this to my mother, who was Irish and rather fearsome. I'm in bed asleep and she wakes me up and she tells me that tomorrow she's going to the high school with me and I'm going back to apologize. I said, Mom, you can't do this to me. That's humiliating. That's embarrassing. I'm in grade 9. She says, I don't care. I said, it's not my fault. It's an injustice. It's the teacher's fault. She said, I don't care. Tomorrow morning, you and I are walking down the street to the school, into the principal's office, and you'll say, you're sorry. And that's exactly what we did the next day. It was humiliating. My classmates had a great time of it. I was embarrassed to tears. Parents, teach your children to say they're sorry. Teach them to apologize. When they do wrong, make them fess up and make them pay for it one way or another. What are we doing with our children? I thank God for my mother. Believe me, she's firmly fixed in my mind. When she disciplined, she disciplined. Soap in the mouth, rod on the backside. Do you apply, by the way, the rod of correction to the seat of learning? No, psychologists, and is it that Spock or Spook, whoever it was? No, he tells us that spanking is bad. It harms children. It teaches them to hit other children. You know what I have found? That the child who's never been spanked hits other children because he doesn't know anything about a little pain in his life. We have other ways of disciplining children today, you know, Pastor. You're just old-fashioned. You're just a curmudgeon, and I am getting old, aren't I? They're much better than the old ways of the woodshed that our parents use. Children should be quiet, seen and unheard. Oh, no, not today. They just should be talking all the time. Talk, 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 talk. Because it's all about the princess. It's all about the little prince who's coming along. Why, he's the center of the universe. Why, in our education system, nothing must be ever said that would harm the little egos. You might destroy them for a lifetime. My mother never thought in those ways whatsoever. Man, look. If present-day methods are so much better than some of the old-fashioned Methodists, let me ask you a question. Why is it that we aren't raising today angelic beings that act more like demons? God says, he who spares the rod hates his son. You say, I spare the rod. Hates his son. But he who loves him is careful. Is careful, by the way, to discipline him, Proverbs 13 and 24. Now, today we have God's order reversed, don't we? He who loves the child spares the rod. Some of God said. I think God knows something, don't you, about children? He says, he who spares the rod hates the child. He who doesn't discipline the children, they hate their children. They think they love them. They just all the time, gushy and sentimental. No. You're not a friend. You're a parent. So parent them. When dad takes you into the bedroom and he tells you your offenses, notice that. He says, this is what you've done, son. You have been warned. You have been told. I'm going to turn you over my knee now, and I'm going to spank you the appropriate number of times to redirect the behavior of this child. And you do it enough to break the will of the child so that there is genuine brokenness. I have seen parents spank their children and the child is sullen and angry. You haven't spanked them at all. You can use your hand if you wish. If you want a sprained hand, I don't mind. Sprained wrist, so when you're done, it hurts you more than the child. But a nice flat ruler, understood by the children that it is available. Just like in our society, we should have capital punishment, put fear into these criminals who murder again and again and again. There's corporal punishment in the home. It's the last moment of defense, but it's at that hour and at that moment when you settle the question once for all, I will not accept that kind of behavior anymore. And you don't have to use it often. Once you've used it a few times, the reaching of the hand will settle the question. You could be at peace with your children so much easier than constantly nagging them, constantly talking them, constantly chasing them. You can say, oh, Pastor, your way is wrong. Then you fight with God. Because God says, if you spare the rod, you fail to love your child. And I don't mean just waving a belt around in the air. I mean aiming the rod. And listen, if you see after you're finished disciplining sulkiness or the evil eye, you get that out of the child as well. You say, oh no, you can't change their behavior. Oh yes, you can. My mother used to say, you want another spanking? No, Mom, I'm smiling now. you can change their behavior. Listen, children want boundaries. They want a dad and mom who sets the rules, abides by the rules, and enforces the rules. I can tell you that is the truth. There are some children that are just bouncing off the wall because they don't know where the boundaries are. When you discipline your child, you're saying, I love you so much that I'm not going to any longer accept that behavior. I don't want you to turn out like that. Don Theobald at the Cary conference told us the story of his wife. Told how his wife used to go out and play with the kids, as kids do, after supper. And as time passed, the parents would lean out the window or open the door and say, Johnny, come on in now. It's supper time. Come on in now. Mary, it's getting dark now. I want you in. But she said her parents never came and called her in. And to this day, she's sad because she felt they didn't love her enough. The other parents loved their children. You come in now. But she had all that. She could stay out as long as she wanted. And I'm sure those parents thought they were loving their girl. And they weren't. Proverbs 29 and 17, quickly. Discipline your son and he will give you peace. Discipline your daughter and he will give you peace. He will be a delight to your soul. I'm not a perfect parent. I was not a perfect parent. My mother wasn't either. But oh God, I thank her. She put the fear of God in me. I'm not a perfect. My children are not perfect children. But I knew something about the Word of God that I couldn't let them in their rebellious ways. Listen. Your child is conceived in sin. Your child is a natural rebel. You don't have to teach him to be a rebel. And you're responsible to train and correct and discipline and beat out the rebellion before it rules you, because you will have peace in your house. It requires 24/7 hard work, frustrating work, at times even despair. But as Proverbs 24:10 tells us, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Your strength has to be greater than the strength of the child. You have to be more determined than your child. You have to be more insistent than your child. You must have a stronger will than your child. Listen, I'm not a surrogate parent. I don't know why I have to run after the children in the church. I don't know why they run all over, by the way. I will be a surrogate parent if you let me spank them. You can count on that. Sure, I'll take over. I'm not responsible to discipline your children other than if you're not around. I say, hey, listen, you can't do that. But if I speak, or like Joseph, spoke about his brothers and tell you of their bad behavior, act on it. And you discipline. The leaders of this church are not surrogate parents. Why are your children walking out of the service to go to the bathroom when the preacher's preaching? An endless parade of kids. Why? Listen, next week I turn 74. I'm the guy with a faulty bladder, not a 5-year-old. If he goes out like that boy just did, next Sunday, the mom says, you don't leave till that sermon is over. You go to the bathroom first. And if you don't go to the bathroom first, and you really have to go to the bathroom, you can wiggle until it's done. Some years ago, I went with Stephen to a mosque. I sat in the back while they prayed. The imam, I remember, delivered a sermon, I guess, on washing your hands. Nothing about that service impressed me. It was cold, formal. It was evil. But one thing caught my attention. After the service, there are about 40 young lads, all dressed the same. They were sitting, and they were being taught the Quran, which has got to be the most boring book in the world. And we got the Bible, friends. We got the Bible. We got David and Samson. We got the Bible, and they're getting the Quran, and they're memorizing the Quran, and they're not moving anywhere. And those little boys, they'd come up to the elder people like this, and they would talk to the elder people. How are you, Mr. So-and-so? How are... I was ashamed. In Christian churches, kids run all over the place. I got to speak softly, don't I? But I was ashamed. How much of the Bible are our children learning? How many verses do they even know? Half the time is spent keeping them in the seat. Half the time is spent, don't do this, don't do that, don't run here, don't run there. I'm trying to shake hands at the back. Children running up and down the stairs. I'm trying to grab the children and shake hands at the same time and greet. What? What am I doing? So there was times I feel, your life is wasted, Pat. You might as well pack it in. We have elderly people here. We have our dear Beverly James with a cane. Kids rushing by. Shame on us. It has to stop. Teach your children to respect the aged. To open the door at the back when you see Mrs. James coming or Audrey Angrove. To say, how are you today, Mrs. James? Mrs. and Mr., by the way. To think about someone else and something else other than your own little life. Heed the word of God. It is by wisdom a house is built. Through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful things. Listen to me. As I close, teach boys to be boys. Women need men, not feminized men. Look for your feminine self on the inside. Humbug! God made them male, and he made them female. And there's a reason he made them male and female. As I heard at the anniversary service when the young man was speaking about his parents, we were there Friday night to see Roly and Yvonne, who was in our former church, 45 years of marriage. And the boy said, my dad taught me not to cry unless you have your foot caught in a bear trap. Well, teach your girls to be women. Read the stories. I have some stories of Pilgrim's Progress for children. Get the book on the children's catechism. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And go through the catechism. Get them out of that thing that they got their eyes on all the time. Schools are no help today. Believe me, schools are no help. They're centers of socializing. They're not centers of learning. The ABCs. We are being sold a bill of goods and they are robbing our pocketbooks to do it. Did you know that they're going to bring back that sex curriculum? It's already in the school. They're lying to you. They're bringing back this. When a child is 3 years old, they're taught all the body parts. They're taught about same-sex marriage, homosexual, all of that sort of thing. They don't even know their multiplication table. All they're learning is how to multiply. It's ridiculous. It's offensive to God. Sorry, I'm not supposed to get all excited. All right. Listen, don't kill your child. Don't kill your child. If you take anything from this message, if your child is not doing what you want that child to do, you sit down and you say, from now on, boy or girl, I'm not going to allow that behavior anymore. Oh, what are you going to do about it, Mom? Oh, your dad's going to have something to do about it. And if he doesn't have something, you'll be like my mom. You see this little ruler here? I'm not going to wave it in the air anymore. The first time you step across the line, you've been told, over my knee. Because when I'm finished with you, I'm going to take the rebel out, and I'm going to take the will out, and I'm going to put the fear of God in you. That's why preachers have such a hard time today preaching the gospel. There's no fear of God. We're gods unto ourselves. Oh, parents, parents, this is your only hope. You only have a window. But as so far as this church is concerned, stop the running. Stop it. Stop trashing the Sunday school closet. We're not going to allow it anymore. And we're not putting locks on either. And if your behavior becomes so bad, we'll say the door goes both ways. And if some parent is mad at me this morning, then you want to go to a church with your child. Because there are churches that accept that kind of behavior. But we're done here. We're done here. We've offended God long enough. I should have talked about this long time ago. I've offended the Lord. Don't kill your child and stand over the casket and then say society should have done something about this. Generally speaking, those deaths we see in the streets of Toronto, not because there isn't money and materialism. Those deaths we see is because parents wanted children without pain. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you and ask, you who've heard this sermon, is anything untoward? And I'm sure there is. I don't have all the brilliance in the world, and I don't have all the answers in the world, but I know one thing, that if you spare the rod and you spoil the child, you bring that child to an early death. It may be from riotous living, like the prodigal son, or it may be becoming a gang member and joining the gang, or running drugs. But, O Lord, it will be an early death, and the parent has contributed to it. Lord, we all fail as parents. We've all sinned as parents. We've all failed in the discipline part as parents. We forgot it was a 24/7, and we hid from the misbehavior. But, Lord, awaken us this morning once again, that if our children are going to fear you, it begins in the home, not in the church. Amen.